Hey, Curiosity Builders, I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. What good can you do in the world? A powerful question guiding the life and work of today's guests, Dee and John Ingalls, the husband-wife team behind Smiley Graphic Studio and Wild Routed. Our conversation begins with the early days of playing outside and spending all day in adventure. From there, we join their entrepreneurial journey, starting Smiley Graphics in 1997, losing a job of 31 years in 2019, going on a 5-week road trip after that, and then creating a retail side project? Story after story, they talk about the memories and the people who have made a difference in their lives. By being open to what life has for them and sharing it with others, Dee and John have created a life worth living. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/533. Dee and John, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's always fun to interview more than one person at a time, so welcome.
Thanks, Chris. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, double the pleasure, double the fun. So what are you endlessly curious about? And we'll start with Dee.
That's an easy one for me. I would say making the world a better place. And any touch point that I can do that, that's what I want to do on a daily basis.
Oh, we're going to have to unpack that a little bit because I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. And mine's a little more wide range. I'm curious about everything. I love traveling. I love people. I love learning things. I mean, if it's something new and I haven't seen it, I want to learn about it. So
what was the last thing that satisfied that criteria?
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's technology right now can be a challenge, but there's so many different technology things that we're learning right now and different platforms for web development, which is what I do, you know, on a regular basis for my main job. So Shopify, learning it right now has been a lot of work and challenge.
Yeah, because we can apply a lot of it to what we're doing with Wild Routed. So
right.
That's fantastic. Well, Dee, when it comes to putting good out in the world, you know, where does that come from?
So I grew up on a family homestead in Germantown Hills. My grandmother's mother and her sister both had homes on the property, as did she and her husband. And so we lived next door to them. And so my parents had 5 kids. We lived right next door. And then my aunts and uncles all had family plots that were attached. So we would grow all our own food. And just we had so many cousins that it was a daily practice to just play with your cousins. And just about every other night when it was nice outside, we would set up picnic tables in the driveway of Grandma and Grandpa's house. And everybody would make food and we would just sit down and enjoy just having a meal together. And my grandpa would entertain us by playing the harmonica or the spoons, or he'd tell us stories. So we grew up pretty wild, and that's kind of where John and I are similar. We grew up just playing in the woods, and our parents didn't see us a whole lot during the day because we were on adventures. And I just, you know, as I become an adult, you know, you get older and older, you think back to the way you grew up. And even though we were money poor, we were life rich, and the world was pretty amazing. And I think my way of making the world a better place is not only working with brands who want to do good and we support them with our skill set, but also Wild Routed, the graphics and the way we interact with people when we're at the markets or showing our children how to run a business and get through adversity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think those are the touch points that are top of mind. But even if like you're on the street and you're heading to the coffee shop and you just see somebody walking and you just smile and say hi. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we forget that just being human, like basically human to people, has a big ripple. So that's kind of what I want to do with my life, starting with my own family and, you know, rippling out to the rest of the world.
I love that. And you just took me to a place that I wasn't expecting to go to. It's like when you were talking about the adventures of your childhood, you know, we lived on 8 or 10 acres and there was like all these fallen trees off in the distance and we would go tree hopping, as we called it. And it was just, there was something magical about that. And is there a moment for you when you think back to that time that really kind of captures like an experience that you want to have now in your life?
So for me, the deep woods were kind of the best place to experience freedom. There weren't chores. There wasn't adversity. There wasn't, I mean, you were all on a level playing field when you're in the woods, except for some of my oldest cousins. Like, I would say Jeff and Ted were pretty rough on us, but all my other cousins who were older, they would spend time digging tunnels into the side of the hills in the woods.
Oh, wow.
You know, you think about it, they were actually lighting fires and venting them. We were literally living like we didn't have parents, and it was amazing. But today, I don't think we can, our kids can do things like that. And back then, that was such a sense of freedom and being able to be on your own and take care of yourself and just be one with nature. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest freedom I think I remember experiencing as a kid.
Wow. Like, as parents, how do you bring that spirit into your relationship with your kids now?
We drag them outside every chance we can. Yeah. We didn't allow them to have cell phones until right into eighth grade. It was just forbidden because we wanted them to know a world like we did before the internet and before being readily available to everybody all the time. We just kept them separate as long as we could, because I think that's a gift. We were talking about that this morning.
Yeah.
We grew up in the woods with literally nothing. I mean, we weren't feral. That sounds like we were feral, but
right.
We always had a great meal. You know, we always had a great meal and the love of our family, but we didn't really need anything else. We didn't need fancy clothes. As long as we were covered, we didn't really care. And I have to say, those are some really joyful times that I hope we gave to our kids as well. We did a lot of adventuring, a lot of tree fort making.
Yeah.
A lot of dragging them to wall dog events. And I think everything that we did with other people, we took them with us so that they could meet other people and see what other people were like from other places and experience things. And I think that was good for them.
Yeah.
Especially the wall dogs, meeting the international crew of people who were highly talented and quirky and weird.
It's like when the carnival comes to town, right?
Not too bad.
I'm thinking flamethrowers and jugglers and odd shows. It's a fantastic group of people that is a community that's just, if you haven't experienced a wall dog event, I'm sure across the nation there are others similar to this, but in the Midwest here, it's the wall dogs, and they go to one or two towns a year, and it's a 3 or 4 year in the making event. But there's somewhere between 12 and 18 murals that get painted over a 4 or 5 day period. And there's just artists that come from all over the country and the world to be a part of it.
And they do it for free.
Yeah. But oh, wow. the lead artist gets paid. Because someone needs to be responsible for completing it, right? It's not like, this is, we're bored with this, let's go. So, but all of the support staff is all, you know, volunteer basis, which is fantastic to see the whole community come together for an event like that.
So it kind of shows you that your adventures don't always have to be in the woods. Mm-hmm. They can be in the city streets.
Yeah.
Well, and being open to whatever the adventure looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within reason. I don't camp, I glamp.
No, I would camp. I don't mind camping.
Sure.
Yeah. It's easy for me to say because she won't do it. So now I've got an outright.
But you're a dude. You're a dude. The world is your bathroom.
That's right. You only have to dig one hole every few days.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So what an amazing kind of origin story for what you do now. At what point did entrepreneurship enter the picture and show you almost a way forward in that experience that you had?
I would say from day one, as kids who you had to participate in growing all the food, weeding the food, you know, deciding what gets planted in the seed box is built every February. The seeds are ordered. I would say sitting at the farm stand outside the family property and selling at the age of probably 8. Was my first taste of it, and I loved it. How about you?
Yeah, you know, entrepreneurship, I don't think it was until later in my life that I experienced that. I mean, it's not like we did lemonade stands or anything like that. we were more into just go out and do the adventure, run through the woods and follow a creek to the end, which typically would end up near the Illinois River here. I think the first time childhood friend of mine, Tommy and I went on an adventure down the spillway off the back of the lake that we lived near. And we followed that all the way. You know, we were there almost all day. We followed it all the way to the Illinois River, which was probably, it was a good 6 miles.
Wow.
And that may doesn't seem like a long way, but on a windy, creek. We had his time.
I think for you, the first entrepreneurial experience was when you were doing illustration. That psychiatrist who you drew all the cats, the Siamese cats for.
True. I had to draw some illustrated cats that represented different circumstances.
And that's where Smiley Graphics started. Yeah. It was an illustration.
I needed a name
side
for
project.
It. So I had a friend of mine that was always looking at me and he's like.
Was it Moss Holder?
Yeah. Bill Moss Holder. Everyone called him Moss. And there's a place I worked at for 30 years. When I first started working there, he looked at me once. He goes, "Geez, Ingles, you look like a dog chewing on barbed wire."
No, it's a always, possum.
Well,
it's
possum chewing barbed wire. You're always smiling. And from that moment forward, he started calling me Smiley. And so Smiley Graphics, when I needed to have a name to do some freelance under, you know, something different.
Yeah.
We called it Smiley Graphics.
Yeah. And then when we kind of got together and got married, I was pregnant with Brennan, our second child. I decided to work from home and I just picked up that name and just kept it going. And it's been going ever since 1997.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That should just be applauded in and of itself that, you know, what's that, 24 years?
Yeah. It went by quick.
For people who are just starting out, 24 years seems like an eternity.
It is weird, Chris, when you talk to people and you're like, yeah, I've been doing this since, oh my gosh. And you look at them and you're like, how old are you? 22? Yeah. Before you were even alive. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And people just look at us weird and we're like, hey, what are you going to do?
It's getting to the point now where someone will ask us, how long have you been doing that?
Oh, over 10 years.
A while.
Well, and that brings up a really interesting point too, because like, you know, once you hit a certain number, you start, you know, just kind of like generalizing it. Is that because, you know, we as a society don't appreciate the wisdom inherent in people who have been doing things for a long period of time?
I think I've experienced where I've heard people just in general say, like, sometimes people who are over 50 aren't connected to technology very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they struggle with it. But we're kind of different in the way that, you know, we were doing design before there were computers, and we had one of the first Macs as it came off the line. I think our garage is filled with just about every Mac we've owned over the last 20 years because John can't let them go. works of art. So I think sometimes society has that stigma of when you're older, mm-hmm. maybe you've lost track with, you know, check in with technology. But I guess I'm here to say that we definitely have not lost track of technology, because we're learning something new every single day, between, you know, setting up a POS system for Shopify and mm-hmm. learning SEO from our friend Francie Henriksen, to, you know,
how to run a business
oh,
and not just a business, a retail shop.
Yeah,
let's just say
softwares
we haven't touched on that yet.
And, you know, it's just, I think about a year ago, I think we were looking at each other and go, oh my gosh, technology changes constantly. How are we going to keep up? And now we're just like, hey, we're keeping up. We must be doing okay. And I think the lesson there is, you just don't quit. Like Diane says, you just have to keep going and be consistent.
I'll be honest with you. I look to people who, like yourself, who are doing these things because it provides a hope, and it provides a path for the future and a way of being. And I'm looking ahead more than I'm looking behind, because I can relate to people more in your position than the people starting off. Because I'm in my early 40s, and you know, I'm much more interested in how people are operating their business later in life now, looking for that framework.
Yeah, I think you were talking about that on one of your podcasts that I was listening to, something about not looking back, but looking to the future. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of like an aha moment. I was in the truck listening to your podcast when you said that. I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's a very valuable point. You want to look back and see where you've come from to be grateful, but I think it's like cross country. You have to keep your head up and looking forward. Otherwise, you can't see where you're going.
Well, and I think too, it's that ability to, I think, create a business that you can run as you are, as opposed to who you are, because there's certain things that I can't do as well physically because of just, you know, the days of sedentary nature catches up with you, and you know, not taking care of your body the way that you probably should, you know, it just catches up with you. So it's like, I just appreciate as much as I can get from people who, like yourself, who are still learning. And God, I'm so sorry. I'm painting this picture that you're ancient, and I apologize.
That's okay. People tell us we look like we're in our 30s.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll take that compliment.
Yeah. Well, I just really appreciate what I'm trying to say, just where you're at and that you're continuing to learn, because it just really does create that view of sustainability and really responsiveness to bringing your business to life.
I think we have a responsibility to generations behind us to show how to run a business, how to be parents, how to be a good person in society. Mm-hmm. Set an example to those who are coming up behind us, because we have grandparents that we look up to that we didn't realize it when we were younger, I don't think, but we've been talking about it recently, that, wow, how smart were they? And look what they went through, you know, depression, the Great Depression, and, you know, wars where they didn't see their husbands for the longest time.
They didn't have the internet to look up how to fix something.
They had to ask somebody. They had to write somebody a letter and ask them how to fix it. And so, like when COVID hit last year, I thought about, like John's grandma, Shirley, she's
93.
Wow. Lives by herself. We've been asking her to share a bunch of stories about what it was like growing up in the Peoria area. Wow. And I think to myself, geez, if she can get through the Great Depression and her husband being in World War II, they stormed the beach at D-Day.
He wasn't on D-Day.
He wasn't on D-Day. Yeah,
he was a merchant marine. So he was in the Navy and was a part of the merchant marine set that protected the cargo ships going across the Pacific.
Okay.
So there was always the, he didn't talk much about it at all, but I know that he was in the guard ships or the support ships that took troops and supplies over to Europe.
Didn't he say a torpedo went by the front of the ship once?
Yeah, that's the only story I ever heard. He told me.
You almost didn't exist because if that would have hit the ship, you would have never.
He was out. I don't know. Is the bow the front of the ship?
Yeah.
So he was out towards the bow, and a torpedo went. And he goes, "I think that if I would have jumped off the ship, it looked close enough. I could have jumped on it, and it missed us by that close."
Yeah. Wow.
So
I think if they can get through things like that and still be happy and just enjoying life, which she still lives by herself and drives everywhere and just loves life, we can get through just about anything. So
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, and we have to continually learn, right? I mean, it comes back to learning. Our me being curious and Dee being curious and learning all that we've had to running a business, and not just a business, but now essentially a retail brand, which is a lot of extra work and a lot of different things that we didn't know, you know?
But it's weirdly fun. Like I was counting stickers yesterday and I'm like, this is boring as hell, but I love it. I must be doing something right. This is kind of fun.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
So continually, you have to continue to grow, because if you're not curious, you're not growing. If you're not growing, then what are you doing?
Yeah. What can you do for the world? I think it wraps back around to what can you do good in the world? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the ikigai model, I guess, is what I always go back to. What are you good at? What does the world need?
Mm-hmm. What will the world pay for? Mm-hmm. And what's your passion?
Yeah.
So those are four circles, and you try to find the thing that's in the middle. And I think for us, Wild Routed comes as close to that center sweet spot as we've found so far.
We get to do stuff outside. Mm-hmm. We get to make our own things with our own messaging. We get to ask people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So at what point do you go from smiley graphics to Wild Routed?
That's easy. So John lost his job. Of 31 years.
Wow.
1990.
2 years ago.
Or 2019.
Yeah.
So, you know that movie, what is it? Daddy Daycare.
Oh, yeah.
Where he comes home and he goes, I lost my job. And she goes, what? So, of course, we always had this joke, if you ever lost your job, you should call me and tell me that. And so he called me. He's like, I lost my job. And I'm like, what? So we were excited. And scared because he was making a very good salary with 5 weeks vacation.
Yeah.
Wow.
For 30 years. And so they gave him a decent severance. So he came home that night. He goes, we're going to get in the truck. We're going to take Brennan and we're going to go on the road for 5 weeks and hit as many national parks as we can possibly get to.
Ooh.
So we went to Madison. Wisconsin to hang out with our daughter to start things off right. Mm-hmm. And from there, we just went across the United States from the Badlands to Yellowstone to Oregon to Nevada to Colorado and then back home for 5 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. Glacier.
Yeah.
Southern California.
Yeah.
Zion.
Hung out with our nephew Ryan and our niece Stephanie on the Oregon coast. He's an adventurer. So he always takes us to places where we get to run into bear.
Oh, wow.
And we're like, Ryan, you're going to kill us one of these days. But so.
And then that whole trip ended with another niece and nephew of ours.
In Colorado.
So, Courtney and Tim. So
yeah,
it was a fantastic trip. So 9,000 miles. over 5 weeks.
Yeah. Wow. So meeting people we would never meet in our daily life who were amazing. Like we met Native Indian people who shared a lot of their medicinal stories, and it was just really cool. And for me, sitting in the back of the truck, because once John starts driving, he doesn't stop. So like for 12 hours at a time, we would drive and our legs wouldn't work when we get out of the truck. I would sit in the back of the truck and I would draw everything we saw.
Oh, that's
because
so cool.
As a visual communicator, to me, the best way for me to remember it is to draw it out.
Oh, wow.
And it's weird. We were in wide open spaces like, you know, Big Sky Country and Wyoming. And I started having memories of when I was 5.
Wow.
And I don't remember having those memories. And I'm like, so this is what it's like when you're not under a lot of stress and you're just in a truck watching the landscape go by. And
yeah.
I started having those memories and I'm like, what life are we living? And now that we have this restart, what life can we live when we go back?
Yeah.
And I think that's when we got home and we said, okay, we're going to be in the studio together now. Who do we want to work with? And I think we sat down and said, we want to work with people who are doing good things or people who are wanting to give back to society. So it's not like we're working for nonprofits. We're working for people who make things or have service, but we're helping give them a boost with our skill set so that they can have that ripple effect into the rest of the world. So I would think that I would say that that trip was, should I say, spiritual?
Yeah, it's funny because for me, it was when we hit Redwood Forest.
Oh,
so we went with our nephew, Ryan, and we went to this place in the Redwood Forest. And there's the deep woods of the Redwood Forest. There's so much growth and the trees are so dense, yet allow you
but
to
airy.
Space, but airy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but
they're like giants.
They have this. It's a weird silence, but peaceful silence. And we were walking through down this trail, and Ryan asked me a question, or I turned. I don't remember the exact circumstance, but I turned and said something to him, and he turned and looked at me, and he goes, "Why are you whispering?" And I'm like, I didn't realize I was whispering.
Yeah.
He goes, everyone does it when they come here. Because it's almost like you're in this
hallowed ground.
Yeah. It's and so all of a sudden I got this weird feeling of being in the woods, isolated alone, or with a friend of mine, and we were just walking through the woods and listening to nature and listening to the sound. And it was fantastic.
And it's free. Isn't that amazing? It's free to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of that to say, we after coming back from that obviously was, you know, a life-changing trip, not just for us, but our son also. And so
that was funny.
Yeah.
He got back and he's like, I don't think I want to work for anybody. I think I want to work for myself and travel like this. And we're like, good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow. So from all of these drawings, when we got back, we were so busy doing things when we were on that trip and seeing people. When we came back, we were looking through some of the drawings she did, and I'm like, some of these are really nice. We should do something with these. And so we decided, let's just do a few stickers and we'll just do them and hand them out to family and friends because they're kind of cool. And then people started asking for them. And then it was, hey, you guys should get some t-shirts. I would wear this t-shirt. So we're like, oh, okay. A t-shirt. Do we really want to make those?
We went and ordered like 5 different t-shirts.
Yeah. So instead of, why get a single shirt when we can get, you know.
So we're getting no paycheck. We're getting no paycheck because you don't have a job.
I know.
And we go and order 5 different lines of t-shirts, but it felt right.
Right. And so we did that and we were out in Colorado when we put the order in with our local screen printer here on a trip visiting Courtney and Tim again.
Yeah.
And that was in March, right when the pandemic hit.
Oh, Oh, wow.
And so we just ordered these shirts knowing that we were going to go to the market and get everything set up.
And our sister Kay called and said, I don't think you guys can get back into Illinois. And we're like, what is going on?
Well, because we were disconnected.
We were out, you know, walking through the mountains and we were just off the grid. And she called and I'm like, that can't be true. This is not real.
Right.
And so we hopped in the truck and headed home and we're like, huh, so this is happening.
Yeah. So we came home shortly thereafter, had, you know, several boxes of merchandise that we couldn't do anything with because we couldn't go anywhere and everything was shut down. So that was eye-opening. Yeah.
So we stuck it out. We said, you know, we're going to stick this out. We feel like we have something we really want to share with the world. And it's really starting to take off this year. We're at the local farmers market here where we get a lot of support from Visit Downtown Peoria and the Riverfront Market group down there. Like they're always like, what can we do to help? And and we also ask them, what can we do to help? So we designed the farmers market t-shirt their sticker this year, because again, if you have some talent that you can share with somebody and you have the means to do it, you know, do it.
That's such an awesome story. Like I keep using the word awesome, but it's like, it really is just so unbelievable. Because when you went on that trip, was it just to get away, or were you hoping that something like this would come of it?
We didn't.
I don't think we had any idea what would happen. I was terrified. You know, I don't get out of this area very often, and growing up on a homestead where you didn't have money to travel, and going to St. Louis was like a wild trip, you know, going to like leave your family for 5 weeks and be in a truck and go to places where you know you're going to be murdered, you know, or kidnapped or tortured or put in a cellar or something. You know, I was telling myself all these fear stories. Once we got out on the road though and started meeting people, like when we were mining for sapphires in Montana with Brennan, we met these two sheriffs that were married and they were panning and they were telling us stories. And I think we kind of hit our stride there. And people in America, like we haven't traveled outside of America, so I don't mean other people aren't nice, but I would say just about everywhere we went, people were very humble and joyful and embraced you. And even like when we stayed at bed and breakfast or Airbnbs, people were like, do you want to go out on the canoe? Here's some bear spray. And we're like, thank you. Especially the day we actually came across a grizzly. That was a little terrifying. Face to face with it was like 20 yards away.
Yeah.
And it just stared at us.
Yeah.
And I was so scared. I just stood still. And I don't think I've ever been that scared and happy in my life. Because I'm like, this is an adventure. This is like Indiana Jones stuff. I'm going to die. It's looking at us. It's huge. It's looking at us. And I just was frozen.
And of course, I'm thinking to myself,
Don't say it.
I only need to outrun one.
You didn't really mean that, did you? That's like terrible. Well,
comedy relief. So, but, you know, to answer your question about, you know, did we have any plans? Yeah, there was a question initially. Okay. Yeah. So we didn't, it was more of a reset. I knew this was an opportunity where we had the opportunity and the means to take a trip like this. Brennan was out of school, so summer was just getting started. I obviously didn't have a job and wasn't going to start looking for one right away, because just wanted to take a breather to see whether or not I was going to join Dee in the studio or find another job. And at that particular time, you had light workload and could work on the road with the clients. So I said, we may not have another opportunity to do this.
Yeah.
So it was really a reset, an opportunity to just get away and not think about what we're going to do at the end of it.
And we thought about not coming back.
By the end, yeah,
we thought about not coming back. And then we're like, okay, we need to like get back to reality. We don't have a paycheck. We have to pay for this trip. Right.
You keep watching the credit card bill, you know, climb as we're on this trip.
We ate a lot of cheese and crackers. I think I lost 10 pounds.
What a great story, though, of oftentimes when we're looking forward, we use what we already know or have some experience in. And this is a great example of getting outside of our daily experiences into the unknown, challenging those fears that we have, those stories, and allowing completely new experiences to alter your existence.
Yeah. You said that. You put a ribbon on that package. That is perfect.
I mean, sign me up. I want those experiences because I've mined the depth of myself to the point where I need that outside like stimulus.
Yeah.
And I think we're all like that. I mean, there's only so many selfies that one can take, unless it's in your merch, of course, that you know, tells our story without new experiences.
Right. I think as kids, a lot of times our parents want to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. So they try to teach us to take the safe path. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that gets to be part of your DNA. Mm-hmm. And so you keep taking the safe path. And I don't think it's until something really crappy happens, like losing your job, that you think you'll have because you've had it for 31 years. I don't think we would have just quit that job. I think we would have just kept going. So I think sometimes unanswered prayers turn into like really cool things, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't do that yourself without that kick in the pants.
Because how did your relationship to uncertainty change when you no longer had that job of 31 years?
It was hard, wasn't it? Like for a year.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, it was hard because I don't think we had a true focus on what we were doing. I certainly didn't have a true focus on what I was doing because now, you know, for 31 years, I was in this position. Now, there was many growth opportunities within that career at that company. I moved, you know, did design and illustration and moved into motion graphics and then web development and application development. So there were lots of learning opportunities that I took there, but it's comfortable because you don't have to think about options necessarily because they're there for you. You just go and collect the paycheck and do what the task that you're given. And now it's like, okay, well, now what do you really want to do?
Mm-hmm. And there's only so much time left in your life.
Right.
So there's no pressure, right?
Well, and
certainly, there's a lot of pressure.
Well,
a lot of flipping pressure.
And certainly there's money. I mean, we haven't talked a lot about money, but money was certainly an issue there for a long time and still can be a challenge when you're running your own business because you're especially as I coin us as solo entrepreneurs because though we're two people, essentially, that's how we run this business right now and trying to grow it and keep work coming in and now do the retail business. Time management is certainly a challenge and money you have to be conscious of. Mm-hmm. And so it was a challenge there to try to find a focus in the time frame given knowing that our you know, our money options were dwindling as every day passed.
I think it was a conversation you had with Diane one day. She just got you on the phone and she's like, okay, you're stuck. And she just walked you through it, asked you a bunch of questions that made sense. How many applications can you do in a year? Very few. How many websites can you do a year? Very many.
Yeah.
Is that good grammar? Very many.
Very
sure.
Nice.
A lot.
Yeah.
I'm showing my upbringing. I hate
it. Tracking.
So Diane's been really pivotal, I think, in being an outsider looking in and going, okay, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Here's let's do this, this, and this. And having a plan has been helpful, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because nobody's coming to save us.
No one's coming to save us, that's for sure. You have to ask for help. No one knows what you need unless you ask for it.
Yeah, we do ask for help a lot. We get a lot of help from the Peoria community where our office is attached to a co-working space that is run by Andrew Newey of the Greater Peoria Economic Development Council.
It's a mouthful.
It's a mouthful. But they've been so helpful and you know, like, are you doing this? Do you need this connection? They even show up at the markets and like if the wind's blowing our tent, they'll help us pick everything up. Mm-hmm. It's just our city has really put their arms around us. Mm-hmm. That really has.
Yeah.
And we didn't know it was even an available opportunity.
Yeah.
We just happened to get this office space from the Slapes, and they're really big into the art community and design community. Mm-hmm. And so we got the space, and it happened to be connected to that co-working space. And geez, it just shows you how it takes a community to raise a child. It takes a community to raise a business, you know, it really does. If you want to do it without like a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you know, visit downtown Peoria was fantastic. And there were a couple businesses here that took some of our, that believed in us and said, you know, these are really nice. We'll let you put those in the store. So Urban Artifacts here in Peoria and Bush Baby, it's a children's store.
It's an adventure store. So they're good fits for our brand.
Yeah.
So a lot of people really believed in us, even when we kept asking ourselves, what are we doing? We're spending money and buying products, and are we making any money? Is this going to work out? We still have a child to put through college, you know?
Yeah.
Are we doing the right thing? So there's always that ghost of fear in the background. And that's like hanging out with you or hanging out with Diane, people that understand that fear because you guys are creatives. It helps us realize that we're not alone, and it's just, we just need to pause and rest and pick back up tomorrow and keep going.
Well, and I love the focus on community as well, because I think when you can open yourself up to the goodness of other people, kind of like what you experienced on your travels, you know, that there are good people in the world. I think as solos, we can tell ourselves a story about people that almost reinforces itself if we're not careful of like, oh, people are only out for themselves, or, you know, the scarcity of money and time and all that, as opposed to, you know, being open to, you know, just the people around us, whether it's in the actual physical sense or the global digital community.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had any experience where somebody hasn't tried to help us.
Yeah. I mean,
seriously.
Ross Miller is fantastic.
He's a product Sherpa.
Yeah. So he helps guide us.
He's just a really sweet guy. He did a craft with us this weekend. There's a place called Crafted DIY across the street. So we're trying to help them with their social media by supporting them and going and doing crafts. They're really sweet. And they said, hey, do you want to put like a couple of your designs in our store as a craft? And so we actually went and did our Save the Bee design on a painted board with a string art. And it's like sitting there across from our friends like Marcy Goodwin and Ross. So we're just laughing. I'm like, how great is this that we're just sitting here struggling with string on a nail, laughing our butt off, having the most delicious cocktail. And just, this is what life's all about, right? It's not about having two iPads, and it's not about having the biggest house or the biggest car. It's just about being with people and going all the way back to being a kid, setting up the picnic tables and just making really good food and sharing it. I just can't say that enough. That's what I think life is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that influence like the work you do with Smiley Graphics then? Because it sounds like Wild Rooted is almost taking on a life of its own.
It is.
It definitely is.
Yeah. I would say we always do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's just being true to your word with that. I mean, but that's how our business has always been. So I don't know.
We get a lot of work from people who have had a bad web developer experience.
Yeah. That's such a common theme.
But it's such it's so great that we're here and wanting to help them. I think when they come and they've had a bad experience, we can show them you can have a great experience. So we get to turn that we get to turn that ship around. And I think I find gratification in helping somebody who's like having a struggle with a web developer not have a struggle. Because John really loves working with people. He's honest and he's kind. and he's smart and he figures stuff out.
Oh, shucks.
Shut up. And I think that's who you're basically your grandma in male form. Seriously, I know he is. Those two are like two peas in a pod when they get on the phone. I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere for an hour while you two talk. But I think that comes through to the people we work with, that we're here to help people. I mean, we have to make a living and charge you for it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we do what we say we're going to do, and we do it with respect and kindness.
So moving forward, is the dream to have everything in Wild Routed, or is it to keep the world into buckets, essentially?
That's challenging because John loves doing web development, and I love doing eco-friendly package design. So going forward, I think we just let the world tell us where it wants us to go.
Wow.
I think we keep putting energy into both equally. Yeah. When I'm not busy, I put more into Wild Routed. We have a private Facebook group now with all my cousins because, you know, there's hordes of us, you know. And I keep telling them what we're doing, and please share pictures of grandpa doing this, or please share. Nice. A memory of being a kid. And so I keep putting fertilizer on that soil. And I think we really enjoy helping people build their business when they're really trying to do some good things. Like, we have this friend, Becky. We met at one of the markets we're at, and she does gluten-free baking. And I remember tasting one of the muffins that she makes the first time. And she's like, I'm a gluten-free baker. I'm like, so you're not a baker? I'll be the judge of that. And so I tasted it and I'm like, this is amazing. It's complex. It leaves your tongue cold. What are you doing? And she's like, well, let me tell you. I was in communications. I was like a communications person at CAT, like Caterpillar here in Peoria. Okay. And I like, you know, retired. So I thought, what am I going to do? And I love to bake, and I love gluten-free things. So I just want to do it really well. And so it's just helping her with her packaging and her website that we're going to be doing.
Yep.
You know, we just met her organically and got to know her and taste her wares and watch her grow. And so I love doing that kind of stuff. And being an eco-friendly package designer helps keep plastic out of the world. And mm-hmm. so I don't see me ever stopping doing.
I don't either. Thing. I don't either. And I think that the whole Wild Routed brand and the people and community that has formed mm-hmm. is a funnel of additional like-minded people like mm-hmm. us that right. also need
right.
our design services and web services. So mm-hmm. it's opened up a channel of possible clients that we weren't seeing before.
Yeah. We didn't think that would, yeah, that yeah. was been eye-opening. Yes.
So to answer your question, I don't see either of them going away. Now, who knows if they'll be in the same state that they are. We can't see the future, but
yeah, maybe we'll do more volunteering. I put in a cut flower garden this year. John put a greenhouse in for me. I've always wanted to have cut flowers to sell. And so I make bouquets and take them to the market. I keep nagging at him. What if we got like this huge piece of property and sold our house and put in more flowers? He's like, okay, here's all the cons. I don't want any cons. I just want the property. So we're testing that as well. So I think we've kind of set ourselves up to have a solid future. We've worked a lot of hours during our young lives, and we've saved a lot. And I'm really curious to see what our future holds, but I don't want to be like Babe Ruth and call where I'm going to hit the ball. I want to hit the ball with some sense of where I want to go, but I don't want to try to control it too much. What about you, Babe?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We can't see the future. Just kind of letting it go.
Yeah.
We put the groundwork in place and see maybe Wild Routed runs out of legs and we have to do something else. But right now it's what we're really passionate about. And I think that there's enough support with the community that I think that, and it ties in with what we're doing with the studio too.
Yeah. Everything seems to intertwine. I think of it like a Bob Ross painting. We put a happy little tree here. We'll put a happy little tree here. And it'll be interesting to see what we've painted.
Oh, that's not a mistake. We're going to put an eagle right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's my squirrel. Here's my squirrel in my pocket.
Well, speaking of happy trees and squirrels, what's it like to work together as a married couple? Because that has to be challenging yet fulfilling all at the same time.
It is 100% like sunshine and roses.
Don't you lie. Don't you lie. We've learned to be excellent communicators because when you work with your spouse, you're both two different people, right? Mm-hmm. You would go to work and I would go to work and we wouldn't work together. And then all of a sudden we were working together.
Yeah.
So we had to do a lot of listening. We did all of our meetings we would do on walks. Like Steve Jobs used to do all of his meetings on walks. Mm-hmm. So like if we're on walks, it was just easier to stay in the flow of having the conversation. And you know, money is really hard when you're not making a lot of money at first. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of deep conversations you need to have about what you're spending money on and what's a priority. And so I would say the last year has been extremely challenging, but from that, I think we're stronger as married people and we've actually learned how to be better communicators. And say things like, I feel like we're not communicating about this, instead of, you're wrong. And I've told you that 3,000 times. So we've just learned to be really good communicators.
I think that's my comment.
What? Watch it.
We already said that. We already talked about it.
Yes. John's very linear and organized and a perfectionist. And D is very organic and go with the flow, dare I say, hippie. And so we round each other out, but when we work together, it's definitely a challenge to realize what each other's saying.
Yeah.
Because you talk in words that I take one way and I talk in words that you take one way.
Yeah.
So we're starting to realize that sometimes we're kind of like ships that pass in the night and we have to go back and go, wait a minute, did you mean?
Yeah.
So communication.
Communication, but like both of my, you asked this question before we started and I had thought about it. And I think that there's a tendency for maybe all couples, certainly with us, to make assumptions. Because you know someone so well, you make assumptions about how they feel about something or what they meant by something or what their intention was. And when you're working together and living together, you know, so we have the relationship and the business
and
partnership
children.
And parenting children, there's a lot of assumptions that are made. And it's mm-hmm. it's about getting back to communication and not making poor assumptions about what you think the other person was thinking. It's best just to just lay it out there. And work through it, because it's difficult once there is any type of tension to get away from that tension without addressing it. Because there's not like you go to an employer your job and let everything simmer down and then you come home and it's like, oh, everything's fine, it just worked out. Well, no, we both get in the vehicle and drive to the office.
So we find fun ways to reconnect. We do a lot of things with our kids. They're both in the design space. Shannon's a service designer. So that's human-centered design. And then Brennan is in school, possibly looking to be a museum curator. So it's always fun to hang out with them and just talk about design. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Go to museums together. Yeah. So we realized that last year was very challenging in that, one, you didn't have your job anymore. Mm-hmm. Two, there's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Three, you can't see anybody. And so we just knew that, like our grandparents, we just had to get through it And once we got through it, we'd be like, hey, that's about the roughest thing we'd ever have to go through. So everything from here on out has got to be better, right? So
yeah,
I think that's just our mindset.
Yeah. So communication, definitely just.
Yeah. You know, I feel like this is a therapy session, like couples therapy.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm totally taking away what you just said, Dee, of just like, this is the hardest thing that we're probably going to go through and we made it. So just put a smile on and go for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I needed to hear that.
There's so many amazing people in the world that I want to meet. And we were raised without the internet. I don't know if you were. Mm-hmm. You know, a cardboard box was pretty exciting for us that we could turn it into anything. So
the closest thing to the internet we had was two tin cans with a string between them, you know?
So the internet to us is freaking amazing because where else can you go and you can see experts or you can communicate with people you never communicate with in your life? Back in the 70s and 80s. So to us, the internet, it makes us sound really old, but it's a super big treat. We'd never get to meet you.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're pretty excited about the future.
And you're talking about world connections. I mean, with, you know, Creatives Ignite summer camp that Diane Gibbs put together, I mean, just think of all the people that we've met, not just from the US, but all around the world. It's just a fantastic opportunity to connect with people outside of our own silo of the US.
Yeah. And hearing their perspective of how our country roles. And we're like, that was interesting. So that perspective is really nice.
Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. So good. I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together today. It's so much hope, I think, about the future, so much promise and so much openness to just change and growth. I just, there's so much I'm taking away from it. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
we're just living our life.
Yeah. Let's just say we're still learning as we go. We don't know. Yeah. Let's not kid ourselves. We don't know what we're doing.
We don't. We tell everybody we meet.
We're making it up as we go.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's so much freedom in that. I mean, the ability to even admit that is freedom.
Yeah. I would say there's a lot of sleepless nights, though, because you have 12 things running through your brain.
Yeah.
So we've learned how to manage that.
Ooh, please tell me how.
So, So creative brains just can't shut down sometimes. So make sure you don't drink caffeine or eat sugar after like 6 o'clock at night. And meditation is important. Being outside is important.
And meditation doesn't necessarily mean that you are like sitting down somewhere and just being silent with your own thoughts. That could be that. But just being away from the daily
grind.
Requirements and grinds and responsibilities.
Or look at the moon. And when you look at the moon, you realize that we're all looking at the moon. You know, so like we look up and I see the moon, and I go, oh, Chris can see that moon. We all can see that moon. So if you get up in the middle of the night and the moon's out, you can go, I wonder if Dee's not able to sleep and she's looking at the moon right now. And we're both looking at the moon.
What an awesome perspective.
Wow. Yeah. We're weird.
Yeah.
We like being weird.
I 100% validate and appreciate your weirdness. So.
Thanks, Chris. I'm a
fan. Well, Dee and John, thank you both for being guests on Getting Work to Work. I hope that others enjoy this conversation as much as I did. And good luck with the work that you're putting out in the world and the good that you're doing.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Both in recording this conversation and going back and editing it, I felt like I was sitting around a campfire with Dee and John, just having a conversation. And it was so refreshing and relaxing. I loved it. I hope you'll check out their Wild Routed products. You can find them at wildrouted.com, but I've also got the link in the show notes page at gwtw.co/533. They've got some great shirts, stickers, dog bandanas. Check it out. There's some great stuff there. I particularly like the shirt that says share stories with the people you love. Great art, great products. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.